You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Jay Widener back to the show. Jay is a worldwide authority on the Hermetic and alchemical traditions. He's a renowned author, filmmaker, and modern-day Indiana Jones in his ongoing quest for clues to mankind's spiritual destiny via ancient societies and artifacts. His film company, Sacred Mysteries Cinema, offers a vast panorama of DVDs from 2012 The Odyssey to his latest work on life after death called Infinity. You can find his films here at www.sacredmysteries.com. For Jay's cutting-edge writing and research, you can go to www.jaywidener.com. So now let's welcome Jay back to the show. Hi, Jay. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Lance. How are you?
I'm good. On this new moon?
Yep.
I was a little bit surprised to see the email about the ancient alchemical secrets finally coming out to be revealed.
Yeah, it's actually very exciting. As you know, I've been studying alchemy for a quarter of a century now, and I knew that there was an ancient prophecy that said that before this age ends, the secret of alchemy would be released to the world. And I decided a few months ago that I would start the release, and I was hoping that I would get some backup. And fortunately, I got that backup. And about late April of this year, an anonymous gentleman released the secret on the internet, and he's giving it away for free. You can download it and get it for free. And it's called The Book of Aquarius, and it's written by a guy who calls himself Anonymous. And I read the book, and I can guarantee you that this is the most seriously advanced book on alchemy and how to make the Philosopher's Stone that's ever been written. And it's the clearest. And he tells you the step-by-step methods for exactly how to make the Philosopher's Stone and the Elixir of Life.
Mm. Now, where do people download that from?
Well, they can go to either Sacred Mysteries and go to on the right side, the top, it says the Golden Age has begun. You click that. You go to my article, which describes all of this, and it has the link to it. Or you can go to jaywidener.com and click on the top article, The Golden Age Has Begun.
Wonderful. Now, I've read the document, and I've never seen anything quite like it, so I can verify that this is new information to me, which is not saying much, but I've never read anything, and I've delved into some esoteric things over the years, and this is definitely brand new information. For those who might not know, what is the history of the Philosopher's Stone and the Elixir of Life, and why has it been so closely guarded in the secret societies that have held on to this secret for hundreds of years?
Yeah, more like thousands.
Thousands, yes, exactly.
Yeah, like 12,000 years, actually, since the secret of the stone has been out. And well, I guess basically it is in every culture that has history, there's a story, there's stories and legends of this magical stone or this powder that you can take. The Taoists in China, the Hindus, or they weren't Hindus then, the Vedics, the Purana texts in India, Egypt, Middle East, even Europe, and basically, all religions appear to be remnant memories of the alchemical tradition. I can get into that later on how that works. But basically, there's these texts that have been, you know, strewn across time, going all the way back to the book on Hermes Trismegistus, which is thrice great Hermes, which is actually the formula for how to make the stone. Mm-hmm. That's probably the oldest writing ever on Earth, and it happens to be all about alchemy. And what basically these very intelligent people were saying in these ancient texts was that there was a thing that could be made that essentially concentrates chi. Oh. So the question becomes, there's two questions that you have to ask. The first question is there a life energy force that permeates and pervades nature? If your answer is no, well, then you just go back to being a Republican and life can go on. If your answer is yes, then you have to ask the second question, and that is it possible to concentrate this life energy force and ingest it? That's the answer to that is the alchemy, is alchemy and the Philosopher's Stone. So the alchemists asked themselves the question, and then they went looking into nature for how to concentrate the chi. And they concentrated it through the making of the stone. And I want to tell everybody that you know, everybody needs to download the book. You need to print it so the internet kill switch, when it is thrown, you have a hard copy. And I have purchased and am doing the experiment, and all of the equipment that I have purchased is less than $300.
All right.
Yeah, and that was, you know, enterprisingly going around and getting it on eBay, the things I needed, and they aren't very complicated. And the experiment itself is not very complicated. It is lengthy. It's going to take about 18 months. But after the first part, basically you just are adjusting heat and putting new fluids into your retorts and things. For the last part, which is only like a once a week, maybe 10-15 minute thing. So it isn't a lot of work. And, you know, it was a lot of work when there wasn't electricity, but now it isn't. And so the question becomes, what is the Philosopher's Stone and what happens when you concentrate chi? And the answer to that, according to these ancient alchemical texts and Taoist texts, is that there's two things you can do. You can either take it slowly, a little bit every day, and what will happen is that your aging process will begin to reverse, which every baby boomer listening is going to go perking up their ears at the moment. and then you can do what you call the heroic dose, which is a lot of it at once, in which then you go into a complete age reversal in a rather quick period of time. Your hair falls out, your teeth fall out, your skin dissolves and regrows, your nervous system regrows, and you become 18 years old again or so.
Wow.
And I know it sounds crazy, and I'm willing to take the flack on it, because I know that there's enough people listening who will download it, who will do the experiment, that if we can get enough people, let's say we get 5,000 people who actually, just 5,000, who actually make the stone, okay? 2 years from now, 5,000 people have the Philosopher's Stone. That single act will change the world. And our relationship with time will completely change. We're slaves to time right now because we have so little of it. When we have a lot of time, we won't have to hurry any longer. There's other ancillary benefits to all this too, which we can get into. But you know, we've got nuclear power, maybe six possible meltdowns of nuclear power plants right now.
Yep.
We're in three different wars, maybe five, depending on how you're counting. We're borrowing $189 million an hour, $30 million a minute, $500,000 a second
oh, wow.
to China, from China.
Wow.
And Systems are breaking down everywhere. There's not going to be any health care, no matter what you think that there is about to be delivered by the government. And so we're at this real critical place, and we need an out. Jose Arguelles used to say that, you know, right when the heat gets the hottest, the water turns into steam and escapes. And so we're looking for a forward escape out of the problems that are have been created. And this is the answer right here. This is the answer. You don't... If, once you understand what the Philosopher's Stone is and what it can do, you have to realize that you don't need doctors anymore. You really don't. You only eat food because you like the taste of it. You don't even need food. You're on full bore chi, and you are your psychic powers are enhanced, and your physical powers are enhanced, and you begin reversing the aging process, and. And this is the thing that will transmute the Iron Age into the Golden Age. And the Golden Age is when the stone is ubiquitous. When everyone in society has the stone, then that's the Golden Age. And by the way, you know, rumors are that, you know, say you have a an apple seed, and you plant the seed in the ground, and you put a little bit of the white powder stone into the around the seed, and that tree will grow in like a year to a full-grown apple tree.
Whoa.
So we can reforest and renew the earth also.
Huh.
And the earth is just a gigantic chi-making organism.
Huh.
That's what it does. That's what everything alive is doing, is it's making chi. And so this is the revolution.
Well, yes, it seems like there needs to be one because there are so many forces and powers that are working against us that we, you know, we could easily get into that. Now, what about 2012 and the whole? You've done so much work on the 2012. Architecture, the Cross of Hende, and
yep.
How does that fit into the Golden Age?
Well, the age, this is the Age of Iron, and the Cross of Hende says that the Age of Iron is coming to an end real soon. Falconelli tells us that too, and it is going to be an apocalypse for people who aren't ready for what's about to happen. And that's the way it is, and I'm sad and sorry about that. But we don't have to succumb to those pressures. And if we're forward-thinking enough and we realize that, you know, this stuff isn't fairy tale, isn't airy-fairy, it's real, and it's scientific, then we can level the playing field. If the elites have the Philosopher's Stone, and that's debatable. We don't know if they do or not. It appears like they don't. It appears as if they're so damn dumb, they don't even know about it. And I don't think they care about it. Otherwise, they'd be stamping it out. And the Book of Aquarius wouldn't be even available. But so, that's a debate among people that are study alchemy. Is there a group that has the secret, or has the Age of Iron completely obliterated the secret and only to be resuscitated right now? That's what I believe. I believe that's what the prophets say, and I believe that's what the Age of Aquarius is all about. The Age of Aquarius is, of course, a person with a vase of water, and the vase is, of course, your crucible for cooking your how to make your stone, and the water is, of course, the prima materia for making the stone. And so at the Age of Aquarius, like clockwork, we have a renaissance of alchemy and a renewal of the earth. And it's manna from heaven, baby.
Yeah, well, I've read about it in, it's in the Bible, and it's in numerous ancient texts, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And it has many miraculous properties, including enhancing your psychic abilities and all kinds of communications. What about our ability to connect with Gaia Sophia or Sophia?
Yeah, it is her. It's if you think about the word, we call it the philosopher's stone.
Mm.
If you think about the word philosopher, it's Philo and Sophia, okay? So it's those who love Sophia,
right.
And those who love wisdom, those who love the earth. And the number one rule of alchemy is that the alchemical process is nature. It may be nature sped up a little bit.
Mm.
You're speeding up what might take thousands of years for nature, but it is nature, and it follows the rules of nature because alchemists worship nature and know that nature is the only thing that's really important in this world.
Right.
And that they followed and found the stone by observing nature. And it is only through nature that you can find the stone. And so a lot of the Illuminati types are kind of what you might say anti-nature. And they're never going to get it. They're just,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to get it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. See, that's our advantage.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have many advantages. And so we have to take this one and run with it. And this is it. This is the big one. And we should create groups. Now, the Book of Aquarius guy has a website that you can go to and get on the forums and everything and follow the progress of everybody and exchange notes and everything. And this is really powerful stuff.
Wow.
I mean, you know, the alchemists of old would have just about, you know, died to have something so great as an internet forum or even a free download of a very important book. So, you know, it's a really important book, and I really encourage everyone to download it, even if you find everything I'm saying skeptical, because in a year or two, you may start changing your mind about what I'm saying, and the internet kill switch might be on, and you won't have that book then, and, you know, it's only a few pennies to print out the book.
Yeah. Well, you have always been way ahead of the cutting edge, so... You know, I've been following your work for some time, and the things that you've been talking about all seem to come true.
I noticed that.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? I mean,
yeah.
it's like follow the breadcrumbs, and oh yeah, that makes sense. And I was listening to one of your interviews earlier about the rings of Saturn, and the comparison to Tolkien's Lord of the Rings.
Yep,
and the idea of Kronos and time and the moon matrix and the rest of it, and it all ties together as you have put it together.
Well, it's true, and you know that that's actually again what I'm talking about. You see, we are slaves to time.
Yes,
and so I say that we're living in a monochronic universe when actually the universe is polychronic.
Yeah,
and we've been the Saturnian powers. Saturn being Kronos, or time, or Father Time, and also the Grim Reaper, and devours children so that he can be made young again. But we've been slaves to Saturn or to Kronos,
yeah.
And you know you have to ask yourself, well, when did we become slaves? And you can see that you know it was when we started agriculture and created, settled down and created communities, and we had to protect the land from predators and from other people. And then we had to build fences, and then we decided that maybe our children weren't really all that great, and they'd be better as slaves working in the fields for us.
Yeah.
And then, oh, what the hell? The wife too; she can go out there and work. And then, you know, why should I work? I'll just go capture all the people in the neighboring village and have them work for me. And this is where we went wrong. And the stone unleashes us from that.
Yeah.
Because who's going to join the military at 18 years old if they're going to live to be 500? Right? Nobody's going to cooperate.
That's right.
They're going to say, I'm not doing that.
That's
We're not doing that. We're not living that way. And by the way, you got to quit putting mercury into the river, because I'm going to be here 400 years from now, and I don't want that river polluted.
That's right.
See, the different mindset. We're freeing ourselves from the slavery of time, and that's what the stone promises. I wrote a article which you can go at my site and read. It's called The Topology of Time, and it's about the time torus and how the golden age, every second is longer than the second before. Every day is longer than the day before. And in the Iron Age, where we are now, every second is shorter than the day before. Every day is shorter than so we're running out of time. There's a time compression that's causing massive panic and huge mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And once we end the death cycle of 72 years and you're checking out of here, we will then free ourselves from the rigors of the monochronic world, and we won't be slaves anymore. And it's so simple and so cheap to make the stone that I can't believe it isn't going to be like the rage in like 5 years.
I would not be surprised at all.
I wouldn't either, by the way.
No, you're always way ahead of the crowd.
Well, you know, that's why I'm worried about them stopping this.
Yeah.
You know, during the Inquisition, the women that were killed were called witches.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they don't really have a name for the men that were killed. Most people don't know what the men were doing, but what a witch was somebody who worked in a lab, a woman who worked with herbs and tinctures.
Yeah.
She was an alchemist. The men were alchemists, too. That's who they killed. And, you know, we'll see whether they come after us now. And my bet is they don't. And I'm making a big bet, and I have a lot of people telling me to just shut up, you know, go make the stone myself and just be quiet. But I'm already out in the open, and they're going to come get me no matter what.
Right.
So there's strength in numbers. If you're doing military strategy, there's strength in numbers and also surprise, right?
Yep.
So we got to get as many people doing this as possible, and we've got to keep it as quiet as possible so that when it comes out all at once, the genie's out of the bottle, they can't put it back. It spreads like wildfire. Charlie Sheen gets on TV and talks about how great it is. Whatever. You know, I don't really care who does it. But it spreads like wildfire, and then pretty soon the entire system collapses of its own weight. The debt disappears because it's just a bunch of phony crap anyway.
Yeah.
The pollution, everything starts disappearing slowly. And here's the thing with the stone, I'm totally against nuclear power and what's going on over in, what's going on over in Japan, I'll be nice, Fukushima. But I think even the radiation is not going to affect you if you have enough chi.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you said, there are numerous plants that are probably borderline functional, and it seems as if there's an intentional, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but these are conspiracy realities, and there is an intentional kind of a destruct mode to, it's like a scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
And you can see it all over the world if you know how to look for it.
That's exactly right. And we are a people who have a death wish. The whole world.
Yeah,
and that's because we're slaves to time. We're
that's
tired
right.
of being slaves to time.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
It's depressing to wake up every day and have to go to work or school.
It is.
And there's nothing fulfilling about it at all.
No.
And so there's no way out except through death.
And that's
the Saturnian ritual. The Saturnian ritual is to kill you at the end of your time, and you better well damn well appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we need to break free of the monochronic world that we're enslaved in, and the only way to do it is through the stone.
Yeah. Well, don't you feel that the whole system is going to come crashing down no matter what happens?
It is, and so it's even more incumbent on us to get the word out and to get the stone made before they start cutting the power and energy. And
that's right.
I mean, the big debate is among the people that I talk to is, do the elites have the stone, and are they going to crush us? Or are they also damn stupid that they think that we are a bunch of idiots for even thinking that such a thing exists? Okay, the former people all say I should shut up and go away.
Yeah.
The latter people all say that we need to talk and get it out as fast as possible.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I said, there's, you know, yeah, it'd probably be safer to shut up and just go down to my little lab downstairs and work, or... but is that really safer? And the answer is no.
No.
What's safe is to have 25,000, 100,000 people all doing it at once.
That's right.
And then they can kill me, but guess what? There's 99,000 more people that are going to rise up.
And
in that, we can defeat them without firing a shot and crush their useless, worthless, what some people refer to as culture.
Right. Well, it seems like a cheap imitation of the old cultures, and everything is turned into something plastic and artificial and dumbed down.
Everything is fake.
Everything is fake.
We have porno, which is fake sex.
Yep.
We have GMO, which is fake food.
Yep.
We got all sorts of amusements, which are fake fun.
Yep.
We sit and drink beer and watch football, and we think we're playing sports when we're just fake sports. And everything we do is fake.
Yep.
And that's because we're living in this monochronic place that is so horrible that we seek any kind of refuge to get out of it, including pornography and horrible television shows and terrible food, and that is really got to come to an end.
Yes, it does. I mean, really, the survival of the organic human and the planet is at stake here.
It is.
And the inorganic forces that... and the artificial life forms, if you want, they have copied and sucked the lifeblood out of everything, and will continue to do so as long as we allow it.
That's right, and we need a weapon on our side.
Yeah,
it's not really a weapon; it's a tool.
Right.
It's a tool that we can have that upends them. They're going to tip over anyway. Dude, it's just a matter of time. So, you know, the right person just pushing them a little bit, and they're going to topple. So, you know, it's up to all of us to all push our finger on the Illuminati and topple them. But, you know, do it nicely, and we're not going to do it violently. We're just going to do it through a cultural artifact that reverses what they do, immediately changes the nature of time and our relationship to it, and therefore begins what they euphemistically call the golden age.
Yeah, the end of time.
The end of time, exactly. The end of time. Thank God. It's like, you know, there's nothing worse than to be caught up in linear time. And it's not natural.
No, it is not natural. And the corporations have cornered that.
Time is money.
Yeah. We're just about down to one corporation like the cartoons, Acme. And, you know, and people are going to work and just, you know, hating it. And I tell people, quit your job. Walk out of those corporations. There's no air in there. Of course, when you walk out into the streets, you've got artificial skies now, but, you know, that could all change in a heartbeat once people become aware of these things.
Well, I mean, I worked in the corporate world for a long time, and I'll tell you what, the best thing I ever did was walk away and never come back. I've never been in such a I didn't know how hellish it was until I left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and how psychopathic you have to be to get to the top.
That's
and you can bet that the guys at the top of almost every corporation are complete psychopaths. I hate to say it, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not Steve Jobs, but I've heard some stories about him, too. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, then it gets back to the idea of an artificial construct such as money. So we're slaves to time, and then we're slaves to this money, which has the pyramid.
Which is intimately connected to time.
Right, right. So, you know, we're buying time on the planet when everything should be free, including energy.
Absolutely, and it will be very soon. And when this gets going, I don't think people realize that, you know, the implications of this whole thing. I mean, it is the concentrated chi can do anything, and you know. So once this gets going, it's got to reach there's a curve, you know, and we're only at the very, very start of the curve. We've got a long way to go. And, you know, at the very end of this thing, it may be a Lord of the Rings. It may be, we have to storm the Citadel of Sauron or something.
Right.
I'm serious. Once we get, you know, our chi back, you know, then we may discover that, you know, there is some kind of darkness out there that actually has to be stopped in some way. But there's no way in the world that we could stop it in our present weakened conditions.
Right. We have been brought down to the lowest common denominator and dumbed down, and our level of energy and awareness is practically nil. So
exactly. And that's done all on purpose.
Yeah,
so that you will never rebel against the monochronic structure you're stuck in.
Right, right.
Because once you get out of the monochronic structure and you're no longer working 9 to 5 and all that, you begin to start thinking some very dangerous thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they don't want you thinking those thoughts.
Well, the people that do that now, they're calling terrorists.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, they seem to be trying to cover that base.
Yeah, well, next will be alchemists, will be terrorists. You'll see.
Oh, yeah. And then what about all the X-ray? It seems like there's a lot going on with atomics right now, with the X-ray machines and the scatter guns and the, you know, they have X-ray machines that run in the cars that can drive by. And you know, the Pentagon and all these various dark agencies have gone insane with the enemy and what they want to develop in terms of bionics and nanotechnology. And I mean, it's like your worst nightmare.
If we knew actually what was really being developed at DARPA, we probably would all want to leave the planet.
Yeah.
I was doing a lecture in 2009 in D.C., and after the lecture got over, a woman came up to me, and she said, "Hi, I really enjoyed your lecture, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "I work for the DOD." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah, and I'll tell you, if I told you what we're developing, you wouldn't believe it." And I went, "Don't tell me. I don't want to hear."
Right, right. Well, we get little clues from the movies.
We do.
They throw us a bone or two through the movie industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's completely controlled by them anyway.
Right, right.
Yeah, and you know, apparently they're developing super soldiers that are genetically developed, that are like 6'9" and have 5-foot shoulder spans and can carry 200-pound guns and run at 30 miles an hour. And
they have, I've heard the same thing, and they have, they're developing the ability to control objects en masse from a distance. And what I heard is that they're controlling objects as a group, and they're trying to control them individually. So it's a matter of time before they can do that. And they might be doing it now, for all we know.
Well, they probably are. Every 10 years, they gain 100 years on us.
Yeah, right, right.
And they've been doing this since the 40s.
Right.
So you can start adding up how far along they are. They're really far, man. I was talking to, actually, I was talking to Cliff High today.
Oh.
And he was telling me about how much money they've dumped into CERN. And, I mean, literally an endless amount of money in a time of economic shortage and problems. So it makes you wonder what CERN is really about and what they're really doing there. And why they have a statue of Shiva up front, who's the Lord of Time?
Oh. There, nothing is as it seems.
No,
that's
not really.
Sure. And then what about the second space program? I was just doing some research on that, and you've come up with a lot of this information yourself, that there's a second space program, and astronauts were not taken up on one of those tin buckets that would have been demolished on the way to the moon. They were transported when they did go, if they did go, via the saucer technology that they
have. Absolutely, yeah.
And then the rest of them were faked by Stanley Kubrick.
Well, they're all faked by Kubrick, but they really went. And they really are reflectors on the moon and seismometers and things like that.
And mind control technology.
Well, I mean, there's a dome on the moon, about a three-mile-wide dome. You can go look at it.
Yeah.
Just Google in Clementine Aristarchus Crater. Aristarchus Crater, Clementine, Blue Dome. And you'll see two pictures taken by the Clementine Pentagon mission, 1994, of Aristarchus. And then an amateur astronomer has also taken a picture of it. It's clearly a structure. It clearly has symmetry. It's clearly blue. Mm-hmm. And that's all fine and dandy. Yeah, maybe, you know, the Nazis built it, or the U.S. military built it. The only problem with all that is that there's reports going back all the way back to the very beginning of the invention of the telescope. Mm-hmm. All the great astronomers wrote down that they reported seeing a lot of activity at the Aristarchus crater, including moving objects and lights and flashes. And when Apollo went to the moon, and I went through the images. I was wanted to find out if there was something at Aristarchus, right?
Yeah.
And so I went through all the because of the reports of all the activity there through 400 years, and I went through and there was it was all bleached out. Every time you looked at the Aristarchus crater from NASA photographs, it was just all albedo and white, and you couldn't really see anything.
Yeah.
And then along comes Clementine, and they click two pictures of a clearly intelligently built structure on the moon, photographed by the U.S. military almost 20 years ago.
Mm. Well, that's not it's not all that surprising anymore. Given the idea that the technology is so advanced and so concealed that there are bases on Mars and probably there are things going on Jupiter and Saturn as well with those engineered rings that are some of them not finished.
Well, that's very true. And then you have to ask yourself, you know, what is Saturn? And you know, is it a planet even? And I'm reaching some rather radical conclusions about all of that. And I'm feeling a little bit unnerved by what I'm finding. And so I'm...
Well, me too. Me too.
As Terrence McKenna used to say, if you're not scared, you should be.
Right. I sure love Terrence McKenna.
Me too. I miss him a lot.
God, what a wonderful spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and Terrence looks like maybe he was onto something, because his conclusion about what was going to happen in 2012, which he really never told too many people, was that we were going to find a way to communicate with the future, and that the ultimate goal of technology was to find a way to communicate with the future and contact them. And so he said that what he thought might happen, and I think this is like his greatest idea, and he never really talked too much about it in his talks. There are a few talks, though. Is that once you connect with the future, say 1,000 years from now, you contact somebody 1,000 years from now, and they start talking to you, right?
Right.
Okay. Then all of a sudden, all the technology, all the knowledge, everything that's there 1,000 years from now is here.
Right.
Instantly. The entire future happens almost instantly. Take about a year to unravel. And that may be what they're doing at CERN.
Well, I would take it a step further and say they've already done it.
They may have.
The future has already been communicated to the past, which is why things...
And they're not telling us.
Yeah, and that would explain how things are manipulated so easily when they know exactly what's going to happen or the possibilities, and they can line them up because everything is kept secret. So,
exactly.
You know, if you send something from the future back to a secret agency that you know exists, well, then they have the technology and they just build bigger walls around it. So
you got it.
Yep.
And you know that if you look at let's just say that there is a secret space program.
Yeah.
It's developed with these Nazi-derived technologies, which might even be associated with off-planet intelligences.
Right.
And they got to the moon, and they found something on the moon. They went to the Blue Crater. They went to the Blue Dome.
Yeah.
They went to Aristarchus. That's where I would go. And I would go, what's going on here at Aristarchus? And they go there, and there's a dome. Maybe nobody's living there anymore. Maybe somebody is.
Yeah.
Either way, you're just going to get your download right then and there.
Oh, right, right.
And they may have got it as early as 62, 63. They had to have seen the structures when the lunar orbiters started sending their stuff back.
Right.
So,
right.
There was some kind of slideshow at the White House that was probably extremely jaw-dropping. Or they already knew it, and they had the technology. They've been going there long before, and that's probably pretty much what I think.
So
they went there, and now they're about 1,000 years ahead of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're zapping around. When I put on my night vision goggles at night, which I'm going to do tonight, I can see their craft running around.
Oh yes, yes. A lot of people are documenting that now.
Yep.
And what's going on? Cliff High talks about the sun to some extent, but we know that there's going to be a solar maximum coming up around 2012 or 2013.
Yep.
But there have been various photographs and videos of ships around the sun. I mean, large ships that are almost the size of a planet.
Yep.
What's that all about? Do you think that's some? And there are other kinds of devices that seem to be near the where the EMPs are.
Yeah, well,
they look like
little
trains. And
I know.
Yeah,
they're coming. I don't know. I don't want to sound too wacky here. They're coming through a portal.
In Saturn. That makes sense. That's a pentagon-shaped thing at the top, for one thing.
Yeah, hexagonal. And I think it's a time portal.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that Saturn is at the outer periphery of our time torus, the donut-shaped vortex that creates the fourth dimension or time.
Uh-huh.
And the sun is at the center of it, and I think Saturn is the outside perimeter. And the reason I say that is because in the Kabbalah, the Tiferet is the sun, of course, which is at the center of the Tree of Life.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be interchanged with Saturn. And so there's this, relationship in the Kabbalah. And the Hebrews were Saturn worshippers, which is why their day is on Saturday. And they put a lot of emphasis on time and money and those kinds of things, because those are the things that make that Saturn is concerned with.
Yes,
and
right.
And so I think you can see this hexagonal cloud structure on the north pole of Saturn. You know, you have to ask yourself, they took a picture in 1976 and they claimed that it was a lens that caused the hexagonal thing, right? The aperture.
Right.
And I never bought that one as
a
photographer.
No.
And then they took it again, of course, with Cassini. And here we are 40 years later, almost. Yeah, 40 years later. And it's still going.
Mm-hmm.
The cloud pattern is still moving around the North Pole in a hexagonal way, taking the curves exactly at the angles that they're supposed to and all that.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, boy, that's pretty weird. Okay. Yeah, and so you have to ask yourself, well, what the hell is causing that? And then I think you would have to answer that it's something not natural. And that's, you know, there's a lot of weird hexagonal things. There's a bunch of hexagonal craters on the moon.
Right.
I mean, like perfect hexagonal craters. And Iapetus, which is a moon of Saturn, has a perfect, or three perfect hexagonal craters on it. And you've got to start asking yourself, how can a crater fall into a hexagonal pattern?
Right. And one of the moons, it looks like a death star, for one thing.
Yeah, that's Iapetus.
Is that the one? And
the
other weird thing about it is there are seams on it.
Yeah, it has a seam right around the equator, 3 mile high seam.
Yeah.
With striations on it and everything.
Yeah, it's got to be an artificial device of some sort.
It is. It's an artificial device. It is. It's probably where the Archons live.
I was wondering where. Well, I would guess that a lot of them are somewhere under the ground here.
Yep.
Since we seem to be suffering so much from their activities.
Well, you know, I'll go one step further on this whole thing. What the Earth appears to be now in its slave state is a gigantic chi farm. They are sucking our chi off.
Yeah.
And they're keeping us in a state of hypnosis.
Yep.
While they take our chi.
Yep.
Arthur C. Clarke, who wrote the screenplay to 2001: A Space Odyssey with Stanley Kubrick, wrote ostensibly the greatest science fiction novel of all time, Childhood's End.
Yes.
And the story of Childhood's End, for those who don't know it, is that one day a group of aliens with gigantic spaceships land. Hey, you heard this story before. Land over every city on Earth. This is where this whole idea started. Was in the novel, 1953 novel, Childhood's End, and they essentially do not show themselves, so they're secret, and they take over the planet and they destroy all the cultures and all the religions. And they force a dictatorship onto the human beings, a benevolent dictatorship,
right.
A nice one.
Right.
And they promise that after 50 years, they'll show themselves. Right. And then after 50 years, a spaceship lands, and Carillion, their leader, steps out, and he looks just like the devil. Okay?
All
right? So, but this time they've wiped out all religions, so nobody has any bad feelings about this guy looking like the devil with the forked tail and the horns and everything. So they just think it's all right. And but no one really knows what these aliens, who are called the overlords, are really doing. They never tell anybody. They just tell everybody that human beings have something that's more important than anything that the overlords have. They never tell us what. Then, at the last part of the book, suddenly the children of the Earth begin disassociating themselves from their parents, and they begin massing together. They all leave their families, and they begin massing together, and the overlords suck all the chi out of the children. Then they suck all the chi out of the planet until the entire planet is destroyed.
Wow.
And they leave.
Wow.
And that's the plot of Childhood's End.
Well, That almost seems like a documentary.
Exactly. And when you start thinking about it, that is that not only is that the ancient Gnostic myth of these archons, but it is what's going on.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that seems like we might have that is desirable, it's conceivable that it has something to do with our genetics, and it's possible that we have intergalactic genetics, that our genetics are so capable of translating into various forms that they're marketable.
Well, that is true, and we are intergalactic and all that. But what they really want is our chi. What we really are is we're humans, especially because of standing upright and the attenuation of our spine to these forces. We are super chi creators, and no animal or plant is producing the amount of chi that we're producing. A healthy human, that is.
Yeah.
And that is what they want. That is what we have that is so demanded by the aliens. They want our chi.
Yeah.
This goes back into child sex rings and what pedophiles are really doing. Pedophiles aren't really attracted to children.
Yep.
They're stealing the children's chi.
Yep.
Their energy. They're stealing it.
Yep.
And that's what's going on. And Arthur C. Clarke was a pedophile.
Oh, I did not know.
Yep, just type it in. He advocated for the legalization.
Oh, interesting. Well, if anybody would know, then it seems like he would have inside information, so to speak.
Well, I think we are dealing with a very predatory group of people.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, we have to start figuring out a way around it, and the way around it is to take concentrated chi so that we have so much chi they can never get it, and then we'll be as powerful as they are, and then we can start equalizing things a little more.
Well, it seems like that's maybe one of our best hopes right now.
It is.
I've had guests on my show in the past years that have talked about living on chi. Jasmine, the Breatharian, she lives on just chi without food, and many people, and you know from the Hindu and Vedic and other practices that is conceivable, and it's an invisible substance which is in the air, which you can extract if you know how to do it.
Yep.
But what you're talking about is the concentration of it, and the consumption of it for the reversal of age, which it's unnatural for us to age so quickly.
It is.
Even the Bible says they've so-and-so lived to 395 years.
600, exactly.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it was 200 years, and then now we're lucky if we make it to 50 or 60 with all.
No, that's right, and it's been the genetics show that we should be able to live easily to 120, not 200.
That's
right. We can live a lot more than that. We're so smart, and we're just blowing it. It's just, it's just really irritating.
Yeah,
and this is our chance to throw a Hail Mary pass and win the game at the last second. That's what I want to do.
Well, I'm all for you, and I'm all for that idea.
Yeah.
Because,
I implore everybody to go to either the Sacred Mysteries to the where it says free stuff on the left, or go up to the top where it says the Golden Age has begun, or go to Jay Widener and click on the Golden Age has begun. Go get the Book of Aquarius. Get on the forum. I bought all the flasks, retorts, and the water bath. I bought a used water bath on eBay for $200. I spent less than $300 on the entire thing. And that's it. I won't have to spend any more except for electricity.
Do you think that people on the forum will be contributing ideas about where to find things?
Yes, they are.
Maybe even putting together a package. If somebody's enterprising, they can find out where they can get the best cost for it and put together a package and say, look, hey, you send me a couple hundred dollars, and you can have the whole darn package, and it works.
I hope that's the kind of thing that comes out of this. That's what I'm really hoping. I'm hoping there's enough people that can pull their head out of the sand and go, my God, this is true, and I want it for myself and my family, and to pursue it, and to do it, and know that just pursuing it, you are helping free the human race.
That's right. That's right. And the alternative is a slow, well, not so slow, but a definitely assured death.
We're all going to die, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But letting it last a little bit longer is one thing. But the thing is they're coming after us, dude.
They're
coming after us. They don't give a twit about us.
Yeah.
They want us to die, and I want to ruin their whole day.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I know there are a lot of people out there that feel exactly the same as we do.
Yeah, well, this is how we do it, without firing a shot.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yep. And the great thing is that, you know, if I make the stone, I can send you some. So we can start sending it to each other, right?
Yeah, right.
And that's another thing. You know, it's not just to you. You can start giving it to people.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to start selling it. I know it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's an enterprising idea.
Yes.
Think of what you could make on doing something like that. That'd be a phenomenal enterprise for someone.
I would say that somebody's going to do it, and then we'll see what the FDA does.
Right.
Of course they are. Of course they're going to do it. This is America.
Right.
They're going to be on YouTube talking about how they look 15 years younger.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to watch it and go, I want that, I want that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they're going to take it, and then they're going to, why am I working?
Right.
Why am I in this terrible marriage? Why am I in this horrible religion?
Right. Exactly. And why am I even bothering with politics? Let's just
exactly.
Get out all that.
Why am I even listening to these crumbs?
Right. Right. Well, just shun them.
They won't even need them.
No.
They'll be useless.
Not.
They won't need money. We won't need food. We won't need hardly anything.
Well, don't you think that's part of the great lie that that they are more powerful than we are, and we really are the ones that are the powerful and creative and intelligent organic creators, and they feed off of us.
They do, and they got us believing.
Yeah.
They want you to be afraid. Just be afraid and shut up. You know, go back to sleep. Party's over.
Right.
They're like the cops with the batons. Okay, everybody go home.
Yep.
You know, it's like, screw you guys.
Well, and then they get us on they just dribble the technology out at whatever rate they want to keep us on the hook. So the next thing is, you know, a bigger screen thing.
Yeah.
Then it'll be flat screens on the wall, and then it's, you know, and they just keep stringing us along. I saw General Motors has a concept car that runs on hydrogen, and it's absolutely gorgeous. They probably had it 20 or 30 years ago. The technology was here long before that, and we know that they're all in cahoots and that they're keeping this suppressed. And they said, well, yes, we can probably bring this out in about 2 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And they've got one sitting right there in the showroom. What is wrong with this picture? It's the carrot and the stick, you know?
Oh, it is. It
promise
really is.
Them something in the future, and then it never pans out, and then we just change the game and steer them off course.
And that's how they do it all the time.
Yeah, it's called politics.
Bait and switch.
Yeah, bait and switch, yeah.
Yeah.
I like David Icke's problem solution. What is it? Problem reaction solution. Yeah, ain't that the truth?
Yeah, it is
well,
the truth.
Well, Jay, before we run out of time, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience and with your website?
No, I just encourage them to do this, and even if you don't believe it, kind of just do it anyway and stick with it, because I think once you start figuring out that it's completely logical, then you won't have to worry about it.
Absolutely. And they can download that off of your sacredmysteries.com site?
Yeah, they'll go right to the link and go to get the Book of Aquarius. The guy's giving it away for free. What more do you want? A 300-page book for free.
And it's interesting that it's titled, that it's written by Anonymous. It seems there are a lot of anonymous people these days, and God bless them.
Yes.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for coming back. As always, it's been a wonderful experience, and I look forward to our next fireside chat. Keep up the
great
work.
Thanks, Lance.
All right. Good night.